passage of scripture that I feel led to share with you this morning. It is one of my favorite passages of scripture. It is a passage of scripture that often boggles my mind, and I trust that it will bless you this morning as it has blessed me. These past couple of weeks, I've been meditating on this particular passage, and I'll tell you why shortly here. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, we have it on the screen here, and we want to thank the Lord for Gloria, amen, and all the staff here at Mimosa. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, this is what it says. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there should be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe." This morning we feel led to talk about, from the subject of transitions. 4 years ago, I left Georgia. I left a small town called Jackson, Georgia, where I was the pastor of a church in the country. And a Baptist church. One of the Baptist associations in Georgia contacted me and told me that they had a small town in the area known as Jackson, and they had a large subdivision of new housing in the area. And they had a large population of African American people moving into those houses. They thought it would be a good idea to plant a church. So my wife and I, we prayed about it. We went down there and we looked at it, we prayed about it, we felt like this was God's will for our lives. So we get down there and we start the work of planting this church. We go door to door and we give people invitations to come to church. But we're talking to people about the Lord. We're doing all kinds of stuff, barbecues and that sort of thing. We're having a good time. And much to my surprise, let me tell you what happened. We did not get a lot of those African Americans coming to that new church. What we got was a lot of Anglos coming to that new church. Now, in case you hadn't figured it out, I am not an Anglo. Praise the Lord. That was a joke. That was a joke. No, that was a joke. No. So, I could not process what was going on. And my wife and I, we thought, well, this is what the Lord is doing, so we're going to accept it and be grateful. And prior to that, I pastored a city church up north in Ohio. And in the city church, it was not only a city church, but it was a Sunday church, if you know what I mean. We had judges and lawyers and physicians and politicians coming to that church where I served as the pastor. And every Sunday, I would come to church as I was expected to, in my suit and my shirt and my tie. And I can't praise the Lord. My sister, you got a witness. And so I get down here in the country, and I'm out of my element. I'm coming to church with my suit and my shirt and my tie. And the people who were coming to church, and they're saying, "Brother Al, we are just so blessed that the Lord put it on you all's hearts to plant this church, and we just love it here, and we just love the people, and we just love the services and everything else." And I'm standing there in my suit and my tie, and they're standing there in their overalls, literally. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm a Baptist, and that means I don't like change. Amen. I do not like change. And so what I had to do was force myself to stop wearing a suit and stop wearing a tie. I start dressing more casually so that I could identify with the people. And I called Randall and I called Rocky this morning and I told them both. I said, "I'm not wearing a suit and tie today because I just felt led to do something different." So, and I was joking with Randall. I told him, I said, "The Lord must be on his way back because I'm not wearing a tie to church." Now, I can't promise that the next time you see me, I won't have on a suit, but this is where God's grace has me today. Praise the Lord. But here's the point. I came here from Georgia to Texas to serve as the dean of a small school in the inner city Dallas, a place called Sunny South Dallas. That's the joke. And it's not the greatest area. Amen. We have people selling all kinds of things in that area. And I just want you to know that with the stuff that they're selling in that area, it's not legal. Amen. And so I'm there, and I've been there for 4 years now, having a good time training people for ministry who do not feel led to go to some big glorified seminary or university like I went to or Rocky went to or something like that. They just feel led to get some training in theology and scripture, history and languages and that sort of thing. And I am having a good time. And I'm thinking that the Lord is going to allow me the privilege of being at that school for the next 20, 30 years. And I could just have a fantastic time helping people prepare themselves for the ministry that God has for them. Well, much to my surprise and much to my chagrin, I am no longer the dean of that institution. I am right now in a place of transition. Amen. And yesterday, I had to clean out my office. And let me tell you, it took everything in me not to cry. You know? It took everything in my soul as I was packing up those boxes, and packing up those books, and loading them on the truck. It was just a feeling of sadness because I thought this is the place where I was going to be for the next 20 or 30 years. That was my prayer. But the Lord decided that that was not his will. And I understand that he knows best. And perhaps there are some of you who are here today. And you're in the same situation I'm in. You are transitioning from one stage of your life into another stage of your life. You may not be transitioning from one job to another job. But perhaps you're transitioning from a place of marriage to a place of divorce. Perhaps you're transitioning from high school to college. Perhaps you're transitioning from going to work from 9 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon to a place of retirement. Although you and I are called to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are times in our lives when we experience transitions. Let me share this with you. I don't like change. That's something I've come to accept about myself. I do not like change. When I go to a restaurant and order my hamburger, I order it the same way every single time. That's just the way I am. You know, and I have come to the place in my life where I just don't believe I have to apologize for it. Amen. Amen. I mean, and I know you young people think I'm just absolutely crazy, but trust me, you'll get there. Right? I'm just the type of person, and I've just come to the place where I just tell people, you know, oh, I ain't doing that. Nope, ain't gonna happen. Nope, not doing that. Well, man, you ought to keep an open mind. Listen, the problem is not that my mind is not open. I'm just not gonna do it. I don't like change. But the reality of the matter is this. We all go through periods of transition. In the text that we read this morning in Joshua chapter 3, let me tell you what's going on. God had allowed the people of Israel, the Hebrews that is, to stay in slavery to the Egyptians for 400 long years. He raised up a prophet by the name of Moses. Moses led the people, the Hebrews, out of Egypt by splitting the Red Sea, and they crossed through on dry ground. Then the Bible says that they got to the wilderness, and because they didn't have enough faith in the Lord, the Bible says God cursed them to walk around in that wilderness for 40 long years. They had been walking around in the wilderness for 40 years now, eating the same food, drinking the same water, looking at the same sights. And then the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 that Moses died. And guess what? Joshua has to come to the forefront, and he has the responsibility of transitioning these people from the wilderness in the land that was promised to them, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you imagine what Joshua felt like? You mean to tell me I got to come behind Moses? The same Moses that performed all the miracles in Egypt, the plagues, the same Moses that literally split the Red Sea. This is the same Moses that got the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine how Joshua felt? Can you imagine what the people thought? What is Joshua going to do? Is he going to get his 10 more commandments? We can't even keep up with these 10 we got now. Right? Oh, no. Joshua had the responsibility of transitioning these people from the wilderness into the promised land. And I believe that if we simply walk through this text of Joshua chapter 3, we can learn 5 characteristics about people in transition. Let's go. The first thing we notice about people in transition is that they rise early. Notice if you look at chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, then Joshua rose early in the morning. He and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. The Bible says that Joshua rose early in the morning. Why is that important? Listen, you may be in a situation where you're in transition from a job, a relationship, a house, an apartment, college, high school, whatever it is, some sports team. But let me tell you what happens when you're in transition. Sometimes what happens when you're in transition, you go through a period of depression where all you want to do is lay around in the bed all day. Listen, if you're going to transition from one place and one stage in your life to another place and another stage in your life, it's not going to help you to lay around in the bed all day. You got to get up. God has called you to get up and attack the day. You laying around in the bed all day feeling sorry for yourself, that's not going to help you. That relationship that you were in with that person, that's gone. It's over. It's amazing. Have you ever met people who have been in a relationship for years and years, 10 or 12 years, and it ended? And then 5 or 6 years later, the person's significant other has moved on, and they're still walking around mad because that person did not do them right? Look, get over it. I don't mean to be insensitive, but it's a done deal. You walking around being mad at the world, that's not going to help you. You walking around being mad at that supervisor, that manager, or whatever it is, that board member, because they told you you couldn't stay at that job anymore, that's not going to help you. It's time to get over it. God has called us to get up early in the morning and attack the day. I know what you're thinking, well, Al, I don't have a job to go to anymore. That's okay. Get up and start praying for a job. Al, I don't have anything to do anymore. That's okay. Get up and start reading God's word more consistently. I promise you, he'll show you where to go. He'll show you what to do. He'll give you the words to say. But you cannot lay around in the bed all day. Woe is me. I don't have anything. That's because you ain't did nothing. Amen. You know, I know you're probably tired of me saying this, but listen, we live in a fantastic country. A fantastic country. Oh, it's not perfect, but it is fantastic. You know how this country got to be so awesome? People got up early in the morning. That's right. They wasn't laying around talking about, oh man, I wish we were back in Europe. No. They got up and did what they had to do. You do realize that the Mavericks won the championship. Can I get a witness? How did Dirk Nowitzki get to be so good? Laying around in the bed all day? I've been dreaming about playing basketball. No. He got up and went to the court and shot 500 jump shots a day. He did all those drills. Listen, you got to get up. It's amazing. The devil will fool you into thinking, well, I got a right to just lay here because they did me wrong. It ain't the first time somebody did you wrong, and I promise you it won't be the last time in this life right here. God has called us to get up early in the morning. Let's move on to the Proverbs. Proverbs talks about the sluggard in chapter 20, verse 4. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. I like that proverb right there. It's talking about a sluggard. You ever meet people, they always have an excuse for not doing what they're supposed to do? Well, I ain't going to do it today, it's just too hot. Then the next day comes and they say, well, I ain't going to do it today because it's too cold. Right? You know? And the next day comes and they say, well, I'm not going to do it today because the game is on. That movie is, look, you got to quit playing games. Chapter 13, verse 3, it says, the soul of a sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You may not have the best skill set that other people in your office or the job that you work on, but you can be the hardest worker. Amen. You can make a commitment to yourself that nobody is going to work harder than I am. They may be better looking. They may sound better than I do. They may dress better than I do, but nobody is going to come in here and work harder than I am. I'm going to be the first person here, and I'm going to be the last person to leave. Laziness is simply not acceptable. Here's the second characteristic of people in transition. People in transition put God first. I know you get tired of hearing that. Put Jesus first. Put the Lord first. But that's what you got to do. Notice the text, verse 3. The Bible says that they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. See, if they were going to transition from the wilderness to the other side of the Jordan River, to the promised land, they had to follow the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know how many times I've just blown it by moving too far ahead of the Lord. That ever happened to you? You get out there and start moving so fast, you get ahead of the Lord. No, 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 you don't want to do that. Young people, you may not know this. My children laugh at me every time I mention it. But before I went to Bible college, I was a student at a place called Kent State University up north. Some of you remember it because of the riots they had there years ago, because of the protesters against Vietnam. But I went to Kent State, and one of the things I used to do, my roommate at Kent, Ricky Buchanan, we used to call him Ricky B. He was the campus DJ. Amen. That's right. And you know what we used to do when we came out of class? Every day after class, we'd be in the dormitory. You wouldn't believe what we were doing. Yes, you guessed it. We were rappers. Oh, you don't believe me? Right? We just love hip-hop music. And years ago, there was an artist. He wrote a song. His name was Ludacris. Anybody ever heard of Ludacris? Right? You know the words of that one song he wrote? When I move, you move. Just like that. That's what God commanded the people to do. He told the people, when I move, you move. Just like that. And guess what? If he doesn't move, don't you move either. Amen. It's amazing how we get restless and we say, I just don't sense that God is doing anything. And so we go somewhere and make a mess. No, don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Put God first. Let's move to the third point. The third point. People in transition do not know every detail of their destination. Now, I am not attacking any denomination when I say this. I am not attacking any particular church group when I say this. But be careful of these churches where you go to and there's always some guy up there, he's a prophet. Or some lady up there, she's a prophet, and she's going to tell you about what God is going to do in the future of your life. Can I share something with you? I'm talking about Al Brown. I don't need no prophets. I don't need no prophetesses to tell me about what God is going to do. You know why? Because I trust the Lord. If he had to tell me every detail of my life, then guess what? I wouldn't have to trust him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, if you could see it, it wouldn't be faith. If you knew what it was, you wouldn't have to have faith. All you have to know is that you're in God's will. Notice the text, verse 4. However, there shall be between you a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. In transitions, God takes us from one stage of life to another stage of life. And a lot of times, we don't know where we're going. But we do know who we're following. The fourth characteristics of people in successful transition. People in transition are committed to God's cause. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Right? God told Joshua to tell the people to sanctify themselves, to consecrate themselves. Make sure that you're dedicated to God's purpose. If you and I are going to make a successful transition to another aspect of God's will, we have to be sanctified. To be holy means that we're not looking for any old job that pays the bills. I don't want just anything. I don't want just any old kind of spouse. I want the one that God has for me. Because I'm living for his purpose. I'm living for his glory. Not mine. Amen. Let's go to the fifth characteristic. People in transition step out on faith. Notice the text in verse 13. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rests in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. What does that mean? Let me tell you what that means. God told Joshua to tell the people, to tell the priests to step down in the Jordan River. Okay, Al, that doesn't kind of sound like a hard thing. Here's the situation. Put yourselves in their shoes. They've been walking around on dry land for 40 years. Now Joshua's responsibility is to take these people from one side of the Jordan River to the other side of the Jordan River. Joshua wakes up in the morning, you know what he says? You know what, I don't know how I'm going to get across that river, but you know what, God is going to get me across that river. And I'm sure Joshua, he thought about being at the Red Sea. They got to the Red Sea. They had the Red Sea in front of them, and they had Pharaoh's army behind them, chasing them. And Moses stood there, and God used him to split the Red Sea. And the people walked through on dry ground. Joshua's thinking to himself, maybe God is going to split the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, but the Jordan River. And we're going to walk through it. No, that's not what he does. He tells Joshua and the people to do just the opposite. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to take your foot and step down into the Jordan River. Then the waters will be parted for you. See, one of the things that we have to accept is that God does not do the same thing the same way all the time. Therefore, it is important for us to step out on faith. Some of us have made the mistake of thinking, well, this is the way the Lord got me a job the last time. This is the way the Lord got me into a house the last time. Well, that's fine and good, but he may very well be doing something different in your life this time. Well, last time I didn't even have to send out a resume. Well, maybe you have to send out one this time. People in transition, step out on faith. Here's the question. Are you making a successful transition? Because here's the hard reality. One day, you and I, whether we be Republican or Democrat, independent or charterite, are going to have to transition from this life to the next life. The only way that you can make a successful transition there is if you have committed your soul to God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the ultimate transition. God bless you.